Good afternoon to all of you. We come together this afternoon to remember Irene, our dear Irene, and to comfort members of her family and friends. I'm Pastor Birger Draggett, pastor for this church, and I didn't get a chance to know Irene very well, but I met her a few times. And when I mentioned family, I referred to both her immediate family as well as relatives and the church family. Irene belonged to her church family and loved her church family, a family of believers in Jesus Christ, the conqueror of death. And this is the hour when our faith is tested. When a loved one dies, that's the moment when our declared personal relationship to Jesus Christ or our lack of such a relationship is made obvious. And that's why Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 3 can say, "It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart." I promised the family I would share this scripture. This is a better place to be than the house of feasting, it says, because it causes us to search our own hearts and our souls and might prepare us for the day that Irene was prepared for. And that is the soon coming of Jesus Christ. And so we come together here to grieve this afternoon and to search our own souls, to examine our own hearts. May we, as we come together, learn to appreciate eternal values, eternal realities, and may we align ourselves. May we seek to align ourselves more and more toward God's purpose for each of our lives. And that's what Irene did. And she would love to see each one of the ones she loved to do the same, that she may meet you again on the day of resurrection when Jesus Christ returns in glory. Before I pray with you, I'd like to just share three verses that characterized Irene's faith, or that describes her faith, that helps us to understand what she was all about and what she has in store when she wakes up one day from her sleep in the day of resurrection. This is from Revelation 14, verses 12 through 14, and it says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, 'Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on.' 'Yes,' says the Spirit, 'that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them.' Then I looked and behold a white cloud. And on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle." This describes the time of Jesus Christ returning to this world. And Irene, I believe, I asked her that question point blank. She's ready. She's ready for that day. And she is now not aware of what we're doing right here. Her faith was that she's sleeping until the time of resurrection. But on that day, she's going to be looking around for each one of her loved ones. Let us pray. Our Lord and our Father, creator of us all, giver and preserver of all life, Irene is no longer with us, but she's asleep and awaiting the resurrection. And so we pray that you will fill us with a sense of your comfort and peace. Let us experience your presence here, Father, in a very special way this afternoon. Help us, Lord, at this time of grief, to lift our eyes to the future. And help us find comfort in the certain hope of Irene's resurrection at Christ's second coming. And the reunion that will take place among those who seek first your kingdom. Give us a clear sense of your presence, that in spite of sorrow and grief, we will get a little foretaste of the good things that are in store for your children in your kingdom. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I'd like to share with you a few thoughts that Susan put together about her mother. This is just a very, very short, just a few tidbits, anecdotes, stories. But after I have shared my message this afternoon, towards the end of our program, you will get a chance to share. Each one of you will get a chance to share your memories of Irene. And I want you to think about that. And what did she and her presence mean to you? And let us bless one another with memories about Irene later on. But first, let me just share what Susan put together. Irene was affectionately nicknamed Ree or Riri. She loved people. She would watch people for hours. So I guess she fit right in as a greeter here at this church. Because if you're going to be a good greeter, you've got to watch people and treat each one differently, depending on who they are. And so she was a people person, wasn't she? During her last hospital visit, while in intensive care, her room was near the doors for all visitors to enter. And she could hardly rest, as whenever she heard the doors open, she wanted to see who it was. She was very innocent and sweet. Now here comes the truth. Here comes the truth. Susan says, we were driving one day and saw a small Volkswagen bug that had a wind-up key held in place by a suction cup. Mom thought it was a real wind-up car. All right. On a separate trip with Darren in California, the strips at the edge of your lane that warn you that you're drifting off the road, well, Darren told her that this was a guide for people who are blind. Yep, she believed it. She bought it. When we first attended church at Three Angels, we sat behind a family with young children. And they would do typical children things, looking at mom and waiting to play. And mom would be right there with them, waving, making faces, and playing peekaboo. In the past year, there were several dear friends from church who have passed away. And she didn't understand why this would happen, but she knew that the Lord would have a plan. That the Lord had a plan, and she trusted him completely. And I noticed that when her time was near, that she also trusted him completely. She was at the heart of our family, you say, and will be forever missed. And she will also be missed by the church family. At this time, we're going to listen to a beautiful song entitled, How Great Thou Art. How great thou art.
Thank you. Thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. And when I think that God His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. Then on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He died and bled to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art.
Now as we are gathered together here this Thursday afternoon to remember Irene and to receive comfort from the Word of God, I would like to begin with a question. Have you ever stopped to think about how much our world is bound by time? We have clocks on the walls of our houses. We have we carry watches, and we have phones that show the time. We have clocks in our cars, and our world is driven by time. We have appointments that we have to get to. There are times to be at work. We have lunch times and dinner times and daytime and nighttime, and all of us say that we are out of time a lot. And we have a time to go to bed and a time to get up. And there is time for church, and I really love to be here to church at church to greet those that came on time to church. And there's vacation time, there is summer time and winter time, even daylight savings time, although I haven't found that I've saved too much time during those times. And sometimes when people need us to do something, we say, give me a minute. Wouldn't it be great if we could create minutes and add them to our stack? And but, you know, we can't do that. Life is measurable. Life is divided into ticks of the clock. And you may have decades left in your time bank, and others may not, but everybody has only so many minutes. Irene's minutes came to an abrupt end last Sunday. In fact, she seemed to have a sense a couple of weeks ago that her time was up. And she made it clear to both me and to her family that she was at peace with that. She made a decision that she was at rest with Jesus, come what may. Now, whether we like it or not, death is a sure thing for all of us, unless we are among those who are alive when Jesus Christ returns in glory, as the Bible describes it. Everyone else will run out of minutes. Everybody, that is, except God. God is not bound by time. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 8 and verse 58, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And that really stirred up the people that Jesus was talking to, because Jesus claimed to be the eternal God. Before Abraham was, I am. He claimed to be the one that lives in eternity. He claimed to be without beginning or without end. He claimed not to be bound by time. Before Abraham was, I am. And what Jesus was saying is that he has always existed. Even before Abraham was born, and before Jesus was born in a stable in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, he was, he is before that time. Now that should be both intriguing and encouraging to those who believe in him and who are grieving a loss. When a loved one dies, we start talking about her in past tense. She was such and such and did such and such. But the good news is that Irene's Lord and Irene's Savior, Jesus Christ, is not past tense. He said, I am. He didn't say, I was. He said, I am. He is right now. He is during the time of Abraham, and he is right now, and he is in the future and for all eternity. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And Jesus also said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I hold the keys of hell and death. Because I live, you shall also live. So, isn't that a great promise to take to us at this moment? The promise of eternal life is kind of mind-boggling, isn't it? To those who are time-bound, eternity doesn't really make much sense. To those who live in a state where everything has an end, your mind just can't wrap itself around the concept of eternity. It's like a book handed to you, written in Japanese, unless, of course, you know Japanese. You have no clue as to how to read it. But what if someone taught you how to read the book or that language? It would be different, wouldn't it? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Have you ever heard a story of or about the eagle that was raised by chickens? And one day he sees an eagle soar in the sky. And he says, I can do that. And the other chickens laugh. But the eagle knows better because it was born with something different. Well, when Irene, as a Christian, was born again, she was born with the belief that there is more to life than we can see. Her reality was not just what happens here, but what happens after this life. That's the reality of all Christians who are born again. What seems like an illusion to many, eternity, was a reality to her. And what seems like reality to many, all the problems and challenges of this life, often they're just illusions. They never materialize. But she kept her eyes on Jesus Christ, and she had the real picture. That is that this speck of time that we find ourselves here is nothing compared to that eternity that is in store for the child of God. Now, she knew that even though we can't understand everything yet, she knew that the world goes beyond the constraints of time. That God has something amazing in store for his children, for those who place their trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior today. Now, the Apostle Paul understood that. Paul suffered. He suffered a lot in his life. He faced death many times, what seemed like certain death. And he suffered, but he was rejoicing. Even during those difficult times, he was able to rejoice. Paul sat in prison, beaten and sore, and he sang praises to God during that time. In fact, Paul stood face to face with death, and he yet had joy and peace in his heart. And how could that be? Well, he explains why in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17. He says, For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Now, that's a perspective that can bring peace. So Paul, he looked at the troubles and his suffering and his grief in this world as something to be endured for just a minute. What if we could look at all of our tough times as a fraction of a grain of sand, as compared to a pile of all the sand in the world? What if we could see that this life was a minute compared to eternity? Would that change our attitudes? Would that change our priorities? The attitude of the world around us is often, life is short, so I want to get out of this life as much as I possibly can. Get out of the marriage, get out of the job, shun the responsibility. My time is my time, my minutes are my minutes, and they don't belong to God or they don't belong to anybody else. That's the attitude of much of the world around me. But God's wisdom says that life is short. It's just like a minute. And the shortness of life should strengthen us to endure and to place our trust in the one who holds eternity in the palm of his hand. The same Jesus who said, "Before Abraham was, I am," that same Jesus conquered death. And today he's alive, and he is a real Savior. He really forgave Irene's sins and gave her a life worth living. Jesus is a real Savior who really brought peace to Irene's heart. And as I mentioned, she told me a couple of weeks ago, she did have peace. And Catherine, you were right there behind me when I spoke to her. The same Jesus who said, "Before Abraham was born, I am," he also said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And Irene took that to heart. Jesus also said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Now, Irene did not walk in darkness during her last weeks, but rather she had a sense of purpose. As I said, she was ready to die. She was tired of the pain, and she wanted to rest until resurrection morning, when she can be home with her Savior. That's the day when my father will wake up, my little sister will wake up, Irene will wake up, all other loved ones who have gave their lives to the Lord will wake up on that day from that sweet sleep of death. Jesus also said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." And again, my understanding is that Irene bore fruit in her life. One thing we remember about her is that she was always a friend to anyone she met. Jesus also said, and this is from the book of Revelation, chapter 22. He said, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Now, we know we're not saved by works. But when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit gives us a life to live. And that's what he's talking about. The life that he gave Irene to live. God is very much aware of that life. And he knows that she accepted Jesus as her Savior. Otherwise, she wouldn't have had peace at the end. You know, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. his character does not depend on the mood or on the day of the week. And so the promises made 2,000 years ago apply to you and to me and to our loved ones today. And when Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, that is a promise that is available to each one of us today. About the second coming, the apostle, or rather the prophet Isaiah, put it this way. He said, your dead will live, their bodies will rise. You who dwell in the dust, wake up and shout for joy. Your dew is like the dew of the morning. The earth will give birth to her dead. Your dead will live. It's talking about that grand day coming when Jesus comes back. It's wonderful news, isn't it? And Irene believed it. She believed that there would be a day of resurrection at the time when Jesus Christ returns in the clouds of heaven with all his angels, according to Scripture. The Apostle Paul expresses his belief in the return of Jesus Christ in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And there he tells us that the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. With the understanding, a shout of joy. With the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. In other words, those who have died, according to this text, they will not be going to heaven before us, but we're going up together when Jesus comes back. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So a better day is coming. A day when Irene will be awakened from her sleep, resurrected to life. And on that day, the last book of the Bible tells us that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. No tears, no death, no sickness and pain. Eternal life. That's the future that God has in store for Irene and for all those who trust him with their lives. Listen to Jesus' words to us just before he went to heaven. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. May all of us have that same destination in mind that Irene had in mind when she could trust in Jesus and have peace during those last two difficult weeks. May you and I consider how short life is. It's like a minute compared to eternity. Now, it's my hope, and I believe it was Irene's hope, that she would see all her loved one again when she awake on that day, the resurrection. In the last book of the Bible, I'm going to read one more text. One last text. There is a wonderful description of what the future holds for the followers of Christ after the resurrection. Now, I'm going to read part of one text I read earlier, but start a little earlier so you can get the full picture. And it says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Let us pray. Father, we're thankful for these words of Scripture that we can comfort one another with. We're thankful, Father, for the promises that are plentiful in the Scriptures of the future that you have in store for those who place their trust in you in this life. I pray that every single one of Irene's family and friends and relatives will also have that opportunity to be part of that future and to have the peace that surpasses all understanding here. I pray that each and every one of us will have joy through the tears, that we will be able to look beyond what is to what is to come. I pray that you will comfort Irene's family, Heavenly Father, that you will watch over them, her loved ones, especially in the days of the coming, when the memories will flood, when they will look back and they will miss their loved one. Pray, Father, that the time will come soon when family will be reunited with Jesus Christ right there in their midst. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give an opportunity at this time for as many of you as would like. And we're going to have this microphone turned on. Okay, there we go. I want to give you an opportunity to share a few thoughts about Irene. I'm going to use this microphone. And you can come up here. And if you are very shy and would rather sit where you are, I can run around and get my exercise. But and bring your microphone. So I'd like to invite someone to come up and share. As many of you, just come and stand in line and share what memories you have with Irene.
Sherilyn and I have been members of Three Angels from the very beginning, so we have many memories of Irene, the years that she was here. And the picture that we have up here of Irene really does do her justice. I mean, I think of Irene as her smile. I think of her as bringing smiles to people that she meets and greets and so forth. There was a couple of stories that Sherilyn wanted to share.
One of the first times of getting to know Irene when she came here was in our women's Bible study. And it was such a joy to get to know her during that time and to see the compassion that she had, not only for people and life, but also for animals. And she would talk fondly of pets that she had. And just her gift of encouragement, I just really appreciated that about her. Like Kevin said, this is so fitting. It's like everywhere she went, she took sunshine. And when you'd see her, you were always encouraged. And there was a time when my mother was failing, and I was caring for her little dog that she had. And there came a time when I needed help taking care of that little dog. And I happened to talk to Irene one day. And I said, I really need to find a place for a little Gidget. And she said, oh, I'll take her. I said, you will? And she hadn't even seen Gidgy. I told her about her. And she was an older dog. And she had her own little problems and idiosyncrasies, but She loved animals so much and was so eager to help and care for her. And I will just never forget her kindness. And I really appreciated just her willingness always to reach out and help someone.
She and I, Irene, had a little thing that went back and forth between her and me. I'm an elder here at Three Angels, and periodically I speak and have a sermon, but whenever she would greet me after church, she would always, I'm a physician, so I'm usually, people call me doctor, and she would every time call me pastor, and I would remind, no, I'm not a pastor, I'm a doctor. She never did get that right. She always, but it was a little thing we had between us. But we definitely look forward to the blessed hope is really what it is, a blessed hope. We look forward to the day when we can continue the friendship that we have with Irene.
I'd like to invite you forward if you have a few thoughts to share. You know, talking about idiosyncrasies, I know what that's like. I think all of us have some. Otherwise, you're not alive. My kids, they always refer to, they like to imitate me. Thing after thing after thing, I learn things about myself that I didn't know because my kids, they see everything. And so, yes, we all have idiosyncrasies. Do you have any?
No, I have a few. I'm sure everyone out here has heard at least one mother-in-law joke. They don't usually paint a pretty picture of the lady, but I was one of the lucky men that had a great mother-in-law. She was kind, she was generous, loving, patient. And I've known her for 40 years, and in 40 years, we've had one argument. 35 years ago. Susan and I were visiting. She lived in a mobile home at the time. Irene and I were sitting on the couch together, and we were talking about dogs, something she was very passionate about. And I don't even remember what the issue was. But we went back and forth for 10, 15 minutes, and then Irene said something, and my mouth just slammed shut, because at that moment I realized the whole time we were both arguing on the same side of the issue. One thing Irene was not, she was not a great communicator. And I'm going to miss her very, very much. I take comfort in the knowledge that we'll be together again someday. Rest well.
And please come forward if you have something to share.
I actually just realized just a few moments ago that Miss Irene and I had something very much in common. I know a Pastor Bryant, so I'm very tempted to call Dr. Bryant Pastor Bryant quite often, too. I wish I would have known that so her and I could have discussed that. But my first encounter, and we talked about this at the hospital the other night, but my first encounter with Miss Irene, and I'm thankful that her, she lived up to the expression in a positive way that first impressions are lasting impressions. Because my first impression with her, based on my first encounter, was at a CHIP program here. It was in 2003. I came, I didn't go to Three Angels at that time, but I came here for a CHIP program, and she and Susan were my table parent. And so I have always had a special appreciation for them, because of just how warmly they treated me during the CHIP program.
When you say CHIP program, you mean Coronary Health Improvement Program.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pastor, for sharing that. So one of many of the special health programs that we do to try to help the community be better informed about their health and to make positive health changes. And so she was just an outstanding table parent along with Susan. And so I really appreciated that. And then Sherilyn said exactly what I was thinking about just a few moments ago as well, and that's the fact that she was such an encourager. Whenever I would see her, even thereafter, she always had a word of encouragement to say to me, and I really, really appreciated that. So thank you all for sharing her with us.
I just want to share something that really meant a lot to my mother-in-law. She was a greeter, so of course she met her there. And so every time after, while she was visiting with us, she always made a point to go and talk to her. So, and it was quite a language barrier there, but so I would translate. But anyway, then it was communion. And I had explained to my mother-in-law what we do and everything. And the one thing I said was, the first thing we do is we go and wash each other's feet. So I am going to be busy for a little while, but then when I'm done, I'll take the time and go and wash your feet. And she said, okay, and then I'll wash yours. So anyway, we were there, and she was sitting there, and Irene Humphries come. And my mother-in-law say Irene, because that's her name in Spanish. So I said Irene, and so she says, "Oh, you're here." So anyway, she said, "Would you be my partner?" And then she said, "Well, I'm waiting for Gabriela to finish." She said, "Oh, don't. So let's do it ourselves." And then she washed her feet, and that had such a lasting imprint in my mother-in-law's mind that even recently she asked me for Irene. And both of them, every time we see each other, like it was late summer when I saw Irene, and the first thing she asked was about my mother-in-law. So I appreciate that very much.
Thank you. That's also the name I read in Norwegian, is Irene. Same thing. Any others that would like to share? Give the mic. You know, I have one here if you would like to speak from the pew.
I, too, as I'm a son-in-law of Irene, and I was fortunate enough to be a part of her life. And one of the few memories, many memories, I should say, but one that stands out for me is I went through a trial in my life, and it was just really not so much a speed bump, but basically a pothole. And I'd go over to her house when I had a change in my job and help her out around the house, cut the grass. And one of the family inside family jokes was basically that we called her Big Lot Riri, because she just couldn't go past the Big Lots or some discount store without buying something to put in her yard. So she had a menagerie of, oh, the Tin Man and the Scarecrow and Whirly Gigs and just all manner of stuff. And I'm fortunate enough I inherited a couple of those, so those will be treasured in my backyard. But getting back to the story where we'd have these lunches, we'd go out and have lunch together, and she just helped really ground me and get me back on my feet. And I'll miss those conversations so much. It was just really, she was like a second mother to me. And fortunately, I lost my mother just within a year, and now Ree's going to be up there with her, so I know my mom's making some really good Polish food for her, so I think they're really enjoying themselves. So those are some of my cherished memories of Irene Humphries.
Any others? See a hand? Anyone would like to have a mic?
I'm a good friend of Catherine and Sue, and so I knew Irene through them. And I wasn't really close to Irene, but we watched a lot of fireworks. And their family is always come join us, everybody, and eat. And the one thing I know about Catherine and Sue is if I ever need anything, they'll be there for me. I always know that. And I'm sure that came from their mother, from everything I've heard.
My name is Daniel Schlatter, and I was a former member here at Three Angels Church, and Irene was one of my good buddies. Whenever we'd meet in the kitchen, we always had more time to talk than get the food ready. And we always had laughs to share, and Irene was just a sweet person, and I see that reflected in her daughter, Susan, and her son-in-law, Oscar, and her granddaughter, Amanda. They just meant a great deal to me when I was in fellowship at this church.
My name is Susie Schlatter, and I liked it when Irene was in the kitchen, too, because that meant that I could get all the free dessert I wanted, and nobody was there to tell me I couldn't have it. I'm going to miss her.
Wow, I'm learning something here. Anyone else?
Hi, I'm Dre. I'm one of Amanda's friends, and I'm here just to say how much we will all miss Riri, because all of Amanda's friends, Riri was one of our grandmas too. And she accepted every one of our kids as one of her grandkids. So we will miss her and all the turbo stories. And she was always a delight to be around. She always remembered your name. She always was ready to give hugs. So.
Thank you. If I miss a name or a hand, just shout. Anyone else would like to share a thought, a memory? We're going to be singing another song. We're going to sing a song together at the end here. Here we go. That's right. We're going to sing a song together here in a few moments. But before we sing together, her son, grandson will share a song with us. And after that song, we'll get a chance, all of us, to join in song number 633, which is in the hymnal in front of you. When We All Get to Heaven is the name of that song. And now, here's your microphone.
My grandma didn't ever get to hear me sing a solo in this lifetime, and I wish she did. So, this is for her. I heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do you? Goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fourth, the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof. Her beauty in the moonlight overthrew you. She tied you to a kitchen chair. She broke your throne. She cut your hair. And from your lips she drew the hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. lady, I have been here before. I know this room, I've walked this floor. I used to live alone before I knew you. I've seen your flag on the marble arch. Love is not a victory march. It's a code and it's a broken hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. There was a time you let me know what's really going on below, but now you never show it to me. I remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too, and every breath we drew is hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Maybe there's a God above, and all I ever learned from love was how to shoot at someone who outdrew you. And it's not somebody who's seen the light, it's not someone you've heard them cry, it's a torn and it's a broken hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Thank you for that song. Let us take a hymnal right in front of us. There are hymnals. Number 633 is the song that has been requested. When we all get to heaven, sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing the mercy, his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow nor a sign. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout to victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the tolls of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. We will all get to heaven on a day of rejoicing that will be, when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout to victory.
Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Again, I want to thank you for coming out here tonight and this afternoon. And you're welcome to stay and mingle for as long as you want and share memories about our reading with one another. And again, God bless each one of you, and may each and every one of us prepare ourselves for the day when Irene will be looking around and looking for each one of her loved ones. Amen.